Faith has been called the mainspring of the soul, through which one's aims, desires, plans, and purposes may become reality. It sounds like an indefinite business, but there are some fundamentals you can use to build the power of faith.
First, definiteness of purpose supported by personal initiative or action. There is no greater demonstration of the power of faith than to decide what you're going to do, to become determined in your own mind you're going to do it, no matter how many things or how many people get in your way or how long it takes or what you have to pay in order to do it. And also that you form a definite plan and proceed where you stand to carry out that plan, whether the time is favorable or not. That's fundamental number one. Don't be like the preacher who announced that he was going to preach Sunday morning for rain. They'd had a great drop. And they all came down to hear this marvelous sermon, but nobody brought his umbrella. Said, "This is a heck of a fine audience. I'm going to preach on the procuring of rain, and nobody brings an umbrella. You might as well go home. Rain's not going to come if you don't believe it's coming." There's a lot in that statement. You've got to learn to rely upon your belief, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, if you started out to make $1 million and you don't have 10 cents, but you do have an objective and a plan for making it, you better make yourself believe that you're going to make $1 million, or the chances are you will not do it. And the next factor or fundamental of applied faith is to maintain a positive mind free from all negatives such as fear, envy, hatred, jealousy, and greed. Remember that mental attitude determines the effectiveness of faith. Your mental attitude determines the effectiveness of your faith. And remember also that mental attitude is the only thing in this world that you have control over. That's an astounding thing. It's an important thing in connection with this subject. And when you get to the point where you recognize this truth and begin to apply it, you will change the entire affairs of your life. You will be able to attain your objectives with less effort than you ever did before. And you will be able to disabuse yourself of all sources of worry and fear. Third, the next fundamental of faith is to develop and maintain a mastermind alliance with one or more people who radiate courage based upon faith and are suited mentally and spiritually to one's needs in carrying out a given purpose. Now, the reason for the building of that mastermind made up of people who are suited mentally and spiritually to your needs is that the people you associate with have a certain mental attitude which is contagious, and you're bound to pick it up in spite of all you can do. If you could have yourself associated every day with a person who has perfect faith, who has a positive mind, you'd have no trouble in accomplishing what you start out to do. Oftentimes, you know you're so close to your problems that it's a case of not being able to see the forest for the trees. And next, recognition of the fact that every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent benefit, and that temporary defeat is not failure until and unless it has been accepted as such. I think that is one of the most important things in the maintenance of applied faith, to recognize that no matter how many adversities you meet with, or ever have met with, or ever shall meet with in the future, everyone of that nature, every heartbreak, every throwback, every failure, every defeat, every adversity, no matter what its nature may be, carries with it the seed of an equivalent benefit. And if you're developing in your mind the power to use applied faith, when these adversities or unpleasant circumstances come along, instead of groaning and moaning over them, instead of building inferiority complexes as a result of them, you immediately start to look for that seed of an equivalent benefit. Can you imagine having a nice house out here in the country? You went out to the show one evening. You left some very valuable diamond rings in the house, but while you were gone, the house caught fire and burned down. Now, when you got back, what do you suppose is the first thing you would start doing? Nothing there but ashes. What was the first thing you do? You know, those valuable diamonds are in there. They're somewhere in those ashes. You'd start digging for them, wouldn't you? You'd start stirring in the ashes of adversity to see if you couldn't find the one thing that you could possibly redeem and bring out. And I don't care what your setback is, I don't care what your defeat is, it carries with it the seed of an equivalent benefit. The Creator never allows anything to be taken away from an individual without providing in the same circumstance something of equivalent or greater value to take its place. That applies to the loss in death of your loved ones, the same as anything else, which is perhaps the most inevitable loss that you can imagine. But along with the loss of a loved one comes that potential possibility of your softening your own heart, of your doing something to your own soul that you wouldn't have done without that grief.